It has too.
Crazy.
So look,
Well,
there's Miranda.
we've already got two schools in the five colleges that are part of the UMass
Really?
thing, like that we partner with. Already have told students not to come back after spring break. So,
This is thrilling, but I'm gonna start the show.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's Pastoral Down.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brandon Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
It must be a Tuesday night because we are here on Chair Shot Radio. My name is Greg DeMarco. You can find me on the Twitter, on all your forms of social media, at Chair Shot Greg. Well, you can find my account. I don't know if you'll find me. It just depends. Depends on what's going on that day. Depends on how I feel. But you can find me there at Chair Shot Greg. Chair Shot Radio is part of the Chair Shot Radio Network, which you can hear over at eWrestlingNews.com. And of course,
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
We've got a great show planned for you today, but before we do that, well, you know, we got some other people that we got to welcome into the program, including my best friend of over 16 years, or is it 17? When do we hit 17 years? I don't even know. But he's the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd.
F-A-B-U-L-O-U-S. F-A-B-U-L-O-U-S, yes. Diamonds on my neck. Yes, I'm fabulous.
Shut up!
We're on 16. It'll be 17 next year, as the 15-year wedding anniversary is this coming July.
Okay, so we're on 16.
And I got married a year after I met you.
Ish. Probably, though. Probably a year.
It was around that time.
Yeah, it was.
You know how stuff works at universities.
Yeah, it's true. They tend to follow the same calendar. They tend to follow that same calendar. One of those things that we rarely ever bring up on the air is the fact that we might all be somewhat involved in that same environment, including best friend. I can't say 16 months anymore. It's like 17 going on 18. You can find her. Well, actually, Patrick, do we give you the Twitter handle? Did we give out the Twitter handle? We didn't, did we?
I don't know. It's been a while.
Well, it's been
one minute, a whole week.
Yes, he's at Wrestling Realist on the Twitter. That's WrestlingRealist. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one in Realist, and there is one in Patrick. For the Wrestling Realist, Patrick O'Dowd. And that is the theme song for the Queen of Soft Style herself. You can find her on social media, well, at least Instagram and Facebook, at the hashtag Miranda. It's spelled out. There is an I in Miranda because there's really no limit to the number of characters she can use. It's Miranda Morales.
Hello. I don't have my own Patrick 500 for Instagram, but I definitely want to do my own like race to a certain number one day. I have to figure out like what that number is and also how catchy it is.
Okay.
Because I love Patrick 500. So if anyone has any suggestions, I'm open to it.
Well, we will. Patrick, by the way, sent me a text. He's at 459 followers.
Ooh.
On the Twitter. Why did you
we
text
get
me?
Over the
why
450s.
Didn't you just, why didn't you just say it on air? Like, why did you have to text?
Because you were busy. You were busy playing Miranda's music, and she was going to do her like 7-minute introduction to herself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, that comes later with the T-shirt stuff that we'll do after the first segment of the show.
That's true.
But I called the audible on and changed. So yeah, 459. So we got to get Patrick over 460. I feel like once we get over 460, we're in the last 2 mile stretch of the marathon, and we can get you over that hump of 500. Miranda, what's the Instagram count at right now?
Right at 281.
281. Wow, the growth has been exponential as compared to Patrick's. But Miranda 300. No, 350.
Yeah, it sounds like Miranda's going to get 300 in like no time. So,
yeah, M is a Roman numeral for what? 50 or 100? What is M a Roman numeral for?
Christ, I don't know. What?
M is 1,000.
Do they teach Roman
numerals? Jesus Christ, hold on. Let me get out the Google machine.
I'm trying to tell you, M is 1,000, so we can't really go with that. And
yeah,
MM is 2,000, so
it'll take a while.
Can't go there either. Probably not as long as you think, but we, I don't know. We'll figure it out. You know what?
We'll figure it out. We got time.
This is the first show of the new time zones again for Patrick O'Dowd. So it's already an hour later trying to... So
we really gotta get rolling.
We do.
We can't diddly-dally around.
No diddly. No dally. Is it diddly-dally or diddly-daddly? What is it?
It's dilly-dally.
Dilly-dally.
Not that I like my 1950s colloquialisms, but yeah.
The word of the show is colloquialism. 1 is the theme song for one Matthew Hardy. All over the news, mastering the social media to get everybody talking about him. As you all know, WWE contract has expired. The WWE actually did kind of a long write-up on his contract expiring and wishing him well in his future endeavors, which I really liked. And now he is a free agent. He has revealed that he is talking with AEW, with Impact, with the National Wrestling Alliance, and even with NXT. And so we had a different topic planned for the beginning of this show, but I kind of called an audible. I was at the gym, and I was like, man, we got to talk about Matt Hardy, because by this time next week, we might know where he's going. And so we can either sound brilliant or sound dumb. Who knows? So let's talk some Matt freaking Hardy. By the way, if my voice sounds a little weird or whatever, I am getting over being sick. I actually did the rarity and left work early yesterday. I don't usually do that. I'm a little ashamed that I said rarity, and because I have an 11-year-old daughter, the fact that that is the name of a My Little Pony immediately jumped into my head, and I'm ashamed of that, and hopefully the listeners won't judge me too harshly, but yeah, a little sick under the weather, but not going to keep me down, because I still worked out last night and today, and I still made it through the whole workday today. The end of the workday was a little rough, but anyway, Matt Hardy. We got a couple different things to talk about with Matt Hardy, but obviously the most salient topic is where he's going. So, obviously, everyone thinks the obvious choice is AEW. Patrick O'Dowd, let's start there. Is that the best place for him? What do you think?
I think it'd be a really good place for him. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think creatively he'll be able to do kind of whatever the hell he wants. And the setup is there, obviously, with the video they got put out, the Bucks of Youth, as it said in the Twitter handle, coming to see him. They knew he knew they would come. I think it almost seems too obvious. And yet I think it makes a lot of sense. I think that, yeah, I just, to me, it works. To me, it makes a lot of sense. To me, he's going to be able to cut loose with his creative freedom, do whatever it is that he wants to do, because they're going to let him. And yeah, I think that that's a pretty strong argument for tomorrow at 11 Eastern or whatever time it is.
Miranda, what do you think?
Matt? Yeah, I agree that, I mean, AEW, when you look at it as a whole, probably is the best deal. When you think about probably what they're able to offer him financially, schedule-wise, I mean, he wouldn't be on the road nearly as much as he was with WWE, even though he wasn't being utilized a lot with WWE in a while. Still, he wouldn't have as much of a hectic schedule. And family life, I mean, he has three young kids. He probably wants to have more time with them. So that could be also a big deciding factor in that. And of course, the creativity. I mean, he probably would have, you know, free range of not only his work, but maybe influence in producing other things. And I think that influence could be really good for AEW, especially if you think about his digital content is really, really popular. And that could be an area that AEW's already tried to utilize. I mean, you have, you know, being the elite, but that's still in its own kind of microcosm. And that hasn't always quite translated to AEW as a company. So I could see him also having different roles within AEW other than just being a performer if he wanted to. But it does make the most sense, I think, creatively, but probably also financially.
I don't know about financially, because it's been well documented that they've pulled the reins back on doling out the money to lots of people.
Yeah.
They were really happy with the checkbook in the beginning. Then I think Tony Khan realized, well, I've made an initial investment in this thing, and it's not exactly making money just yet. Now it is making money, not nearly as much as people thought, because they now have to pay for their own production costs, but it is, you know, can be profitable in the next year or so. So that's a good thing. But for Matt Hardy, I don't know. I mean, he's basically said wherever he goes, he'll probably do well financially, and he's already done well financially. So that's not necessarily his motivation. He said so much. He's not really worried about the money at this point. To me, when you have that cash or creative element, for him, it's more of the creative side. The one that really intrigues me is Impact Wrestling, and for a couple reasons. Number one, that's where Broken Matt Hardy was born, and that's right. Obviously what he wants to be. Woken Matt Hardy didn't really work because, you know, supposedly Vince McMahon didn't quite get it. I don't think anybody's shocked there. We don't need to go into detail on that one, but Impact Wrestling was where it was born. Now, Jeremy Borash, which was a huge part of that, is now in NXT, not in Impact Wrestling. Impact Wrestling also offers the better schedule, even over AEW, because they tape mm-hmm. 1 weekend a month, pretty much. And so he can work 1 weekend a month and one, you know, pay-per-view, and spend the rest of the month at home with his wife and three young kids. So, Miranda, we'll swing back to you this time. What about the possibility of Matt Hardy and Impact Wrestling?
You bring up a lot of good points. And I think it could be, too, on the flexibility that he may have if he wants to work with other companies and other dates. I know that that's something that I think a lot of wrestlers are looking at now with any company, is if they do want to do other independent dates, is that something that's afforded in their contract? Good point as far as, you know, that's where it all started, and he could have a pretty big role with Impact. If he chooses to, I don't know. I don't know if it piques his interest as much as AEW, or maybe it does just as much, because he knows Impact at least has a little bit more reliability. He knows that company, and he probably knows he would have that ring. It's nice to know what you're getting into a little bit more than what you don't with AEW. I think there is a lot of hype about how you know, cool it is, and how, you know, you would have free range, but that's still left to be determined. Whereas Impact is a little bit more of a sure bet.
So Patrick, what do you think? What do you think about the possibility of the Impact Wrestling?
Well, I think that a lot of the points that Miranda made are true. And then, of course, there's also the fuel that Matt is throwing onto his own fire and kind of building this up by tweeting at and about Impact Wrestling 2 hours ago. So that means nothing. It honestly means nothing. Like he said, just watching some Impact Wrestling on Impact at Impact on Access TV, like hashtagged Access TV, making sure that at Vanguard One hacks you before you hack him. And he tweeted at reality is lost. The truth will be exposed. Like, so he's playing it up a little bit too. And putting some mystery in there. I think that realistically, let's be real here. Any place he decides to go is going to be a good fit for him, especially if he goes like an
NXT. We're obviously going company by company, so don't do the any place he goes card.
But it's true, Patrick. Like, we're sitting there like, will this be a good fit? The answer is yes. Yes, of course it's a good fit at Impact. Of
course. Is it though? Is it?
You know he's going to have...
Since you're being stupid, let me buzzer you. Okay, since you're trying to bury the format here and going through everything, let's talk about the NWA, Patrick. Tell me how the NWA would be a good fit for Matt Hardy.
Actually, I take it back. I think
because it wouldn't would be, and you know it wouldn't be a good fit for him. It'd
no,
be a
I
terrible
just
fit.
Like, I just feel like it's not a good format for him. Like I don't. I mean, the format of NWA. Is very just structured. It's, you know, I like what they're doing with the interviewing, but I just don't feel like you'd get like the whole sense of Matt Hardy within the confines of the NWA kind of studio. I don't know.
Right. I don't think that he wouldn't be able to do necessary. Well, I don't know. He would like, it's not like there aren't skits or stuff that are filmed outside of the NWA studio show. Like we learned about the magic of karate almost as much outside of the studio as we did with the question and Aaron Stevens in the studio. So it's possible, but I think that the limitations are much stronger. I think that the studio is really where it's at for that. And half of what made the broken Matt Hardy character and gimmick really work was the stuff that he was able to film outside of the Impact Zone on the Hardy compound or here and there and everywhere else. And so I think of the three or the four, because I forgot we're going to talk about NXT too. I think of the four, it's the worst fit. I think he could make it work because he's that good. And we also don't know that there's something new creatively that he may want to do. Like we're so certain, and he's going back to this other gimmick. He's never struck me as that guy. He's been historically somebody who reinvents and changes throughout his career. So who knows? Maybe there's something there that we don't see.
I would be shocked if there was something there we don't see, because he keeps talking about the broken gimmick and how WWE didn't get the broken gimmick and how Woken just didn't work. Like everything seems to be, I feel like he sees unfinished business with the broken gimmick and the broken universe, and he wants to finish it somewhere. NWA to me, and Matt Hardy even recently said in an interview, the broken Matt Hardy is a supernatural character, and I don't see a supernatural character working on NWA Power, regardless of where the vignettes are filmed and all of that. I don't really see it working in AEW either. Like, supernatural is the one thing they haven't been. Even before we jump on NXT, I want to talk one thing about AEW, and that's the Dark Order. I'll just, I usually let you guys go first. I have zero desire to see Matt Hardy as the leader of the Dark Order. Like, to me, it's a demotion. Now, maybe he could take credit if he saves the Dark Order, but it's like, at this point, it'd be like, oh, he's the leader of the Dark Order. Like, I feel like that would die a quick death, and Matt Hardy would be on his own even sooner. I know we didn't talk about it when we talked about AEW, but any thoughts about Matt Hardy and ending up being what a lot of people think he's going to be and be the leader of the Dark Order?
I mean, I agree as far as that could be what it saves the Dark Order, because they've really dragged this out for quite a while, and it's really led fans to believe it really has to be, you know, a big name or something, you know, really big that happens. And I can't imagine... I don't know who else. I guess you're right. When, you know, you think of the Dark Order, you kind of think about this really nice fit with Matt Hardy. I can't think of anybody else that could have a really good fit. That's just currently also a free agent. And eventually, I don't know if they're going to do something like the Nightmare Collective and it eventually dies off, but I think they've invested too much in this that they're going to go with it. They're going to continue to go with it. They need something big to make it work. And he just seems like the best fit for that.
I think the Dark Order is going to be like their "It Was Me All Along, Austin" kind of moment. That's a little bit of a letdown. I think I'm just, if it's not Matt Hardy, and I don't want it to be Matt Hardy, it could still be Matt Hardy, and I think they want it to be Matt Hardy, and maybe they'll realize that's a dumb idea. Watch it be, this is a somewhat bold prediction, Brandy fucking Rhodes is going to be the leader.
I was going to say Cody. Damn it.
Yeah, I don't see Cody.
I thought it would just be Ole Anderson doing the Black Scorpion voice underneath the hood.
I could see them doing the Black Scorpion at some point. Like, they're going to run out of run out of old ideas by, like, next November. And they're probably going to bust out. You know, they're already doing the cage with the roof on it. They're already doing
Bring back the Shockmaster.
I'm sure they've thought about it. And a flare for the
Shockmaster as the, leader of the Dark Order.
That would be
shut up and take my money.
You might as well. It's already a joke. So you might as well just make the Shockmaster. And when I say it's a joke, it's the Dark Order that's a joke. So let's talk about NXT. Matt Hardy's talked about the possibility of NXT, about leading a group in NXT. Patrick, how do you feel about the potential fit in NXT?
I mean, again, I think it's a solid fit. I think that the one thing that we've come to see about NXT is that with it being truly its own brand and own type of show, there is a lot of latitude given with the characters, the workers, the stories that are told in a way that's a little bit different than what you see on either Raw or SmackDown. And again, I really think that regardless of what he's doing next, that it's mostly a creative role. And so having the ability to, you know, whether it's mold young guys and work with young guys in NXT or tell some stories that he wants to tell, NXT makes a lot, heck of a lot more sense than where he was previous to NXT. And again, I think that, you know, he's got some good connections there. You mentioned you mentioned Borash earlier. There's a real opportunity to be given some reins there and just see what he's got. Because everybody that you talk to talks about what kind of role he's going to be backstage eventually as well, and as a, you know, an agent and creatively. So it'd be a good place to also just take that step and cut those teeth in a creative role.
And it's the same schedule as AEW, really.
Right.
Like, TV's on Wednesday nights. He probably wouldn't go on the road unless he wanted to. And you know, he might have to move to Orlando and sell the compound, but he can get a new compound. That's fine. Compounds can
be rebuilt. Florida.
Where's
Florida?
I mean,
where will King Maxiel sit?
Alligators and all kinds of stuff he could have down there in Florida. But Miranda, can Broken Matt Hardy work in NXT? Because that, to me, seems to be the linchpin in the whole thing for him. Like, he wants to be broken.
Yeah, I don't know in NXT if that works. And you mentioned him being a supernatural character. And I don't see that really working in NXT. NXT is very much more about wrestling. And it does have storylines, but the storylines are often fairly simplistic. They really build simple stories around good wrestling. And he's still a great wrestler. He can still work. But I think that I think that it's more about a character now than about, you know, his wrestling ability. And NXT is really more about the up and comers, building the new flow of wrestlers. And so I don't see him really performing. I mean, he could work with wrestlers, but really only to build them up. And so that only can get you so far. So I think he probably would be really utilized well in a creative role and work well with people in that role. But if he's really wanting to go there to just solely wrestle and perform, I don't know if NXT is going to be the best fit for that. If that's solely what he's, you know, interested in.
Okay. And I agree. Like, I don't think Broken Matt Hardy makes sense in NXT at all. The character just doesn't seem to fit for me in NXT. I think it's attractive probably from a long-term standpoint and from a family standpoint, but that creative side of him, when he's done, I think NXT is a great place for him to go. I don't think he's done, and I think that's a big part of the problem that he's having now and why he didn't want to be an agent on the road for WWE. So let's wrap this up, and so what I want to do is give us your choice where he's going to end up, and then let's rank the other three as well, obviously from most likely to least likely, and this way we can we'll wrap things up there. So, Patrick, where's he going? And then rank the other three.
I think he's going to AEW. The videos and the vignettes just scream it, bringing the Young Bucks on. I would say, you know, I think you made a pretty compelling argument for Impact, and I think I would say that would be my number two, with NXT being number three and NWA Power being number four.
Miranda?
I would definitely agree with the number one pick with AEW. It just seems like with what they've done online already, and I'm sure it's appealing enough where he's probably getting the flip side of maybe some of the frustration that he's dealt with in WWE. AEW will probably, you know, pull him in by saying, we trust you enough to do whatever you want to do. And that may just be enough to say sold. So I'd say number one, AEW. Two, Impact, just because he already has a history there. And it would also be a really good option. NXT then NWA?
Yep, NXT then NWA.
I'm gonna flip those. Even though NWA would be kind of a confining space, I think it still would allow him to perform, whereas NXT would be a little bit harder for him to be the wrestler Matt Hardy, be more of the creative or behind the scenes Matt Hardy. So I'm flipping those two and saying NWA then NXT.
At the end, I have to go with AEW. I think that he will give that the shot. I think he may regret it in the long run, because I think while they'll give him that creative influence up front, there's already too many creative cooks in that kitchen, and Tony Khan tends to step in and do the Vince McMahon thing and make the final say, and I have a feeling that's going to, you know, we don't know if Tony Khan gets it either, and that's the one big thing we don't know, and we might get a chance to find out. I kind of have the same order. Impact, I think, is second. I would love for it to be Impact Wrestling, but I just think that the way they are with their contracts and everything he's trying to do outside of whatever company he goes to, that might pose a challenge. I would put NXT third and NWA Power last. It's going to be interesting. What I do think he's doing right now, honestly, I think he's trying to rack up as many bookings as he can before he signs with somebody, because he's going to have all these bookings that are going to be lucrative, conventions, WrestleCon, whatever, you know, the New England wrestling ones, Northeast Wrestling, excuse me, and then he'll sign and he'll still meet those commitments and he'll double dip for a little bit and then settle into wherever he goes. So that's what I think is going to happen. It's going to be interesting though. And you know what? It's you know, when you listen to the show on Wednesday, we might only be a few hours away from getting the answer to that question. So wouldn't surprise me one bit. Miranda, you know what time it is?
What time is it?
Time to sell some t-shirts.
Ooh, hot dang. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for a nice t-shirt to wear today, tomorrow, next week, to work, I would say on a date, if you find the right person, go for it. But you can go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to get your very own chair shot t-shirt. There are over 15 different varieties that you can choose from, different styles, different colors, different designs, all for you. So go ahead and don't forget, speaking of styles, you can pay just a little extra money to get yourself a soft style t-shirt. A little extra money, a lot extra comfort. So go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot today to get your very own chair shot t-shirt.
And then when you're wearing your chair shot t-shirt, you can sit down and you can enjoy some great wrestling action over at powerslam.tv, because it just costs $6 a month. However, if you go to powerslam.tv and enter the promo code CHAIRSHOT, you get that first month for free. That's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT. Give it a listen.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
That's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT again. Over 150 of your favorite promotions and Combat Zone Wrestling. It's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT. So, when I texted you guys what we were doing, and I even had this idea for last week, I told you we were going to have some fun with somebody. Who did I say we were going to have fun with?
Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne, you know, it's very appropriate that you use the name Dwayne Johnson, because we're not talking about The Rock the wrestler. We're talking about Dwayne Johnson, the actor. I want to have some fun with The Rock and his movies and his movie career. Let me ask you guys a question before we do that. The majority of the world, do they see The Rock as a wrestler or a movie star?
Like now at this very moment?
Today, yes. March today. 10th, March 11th, 2020.
Oh, it's a movie star.
Yeah, absolute movie star.
Movie star, entertainer, like what is it movie star? Is it just entertainer? What is it?
I mean, I think he's the top action movie star in the country right now. Like, I think I think he's a bankable popcorn box office draw. And that's why you see him front and center in Fast and the Furious movies. That's why you see him having opportunities with Disney, with the Jungle Cruise movie, like Jumanji. Like, he's now being put in a place to carry action franchises, and that's because he's the top bankable action star in the United States.
Oh yeah, he's you know, the most electrifying man in all of entertainment. He's been calling himself that for quite a while now, and he's proven to be just that. So
God, I feel like this is on the wrong show.
Nope, it sure isn't. We're going to have some fun, though, because I am stealing an idea, complete and total ripoff. Maybe I'll reveal who it is. Maybe I'll see if any listeners know where I ripped this off from. I don't know. I'll think about it. We're going to play a little game associated with a website called Rotten Tomatoes. I have an assortment. And do not go there. Do not cheat. I have an assortment of movies that The Rock was in, ranging from The Scorpion King all the way through to Hobbs and Shaw. And what we're going to do is we're going to determine what score we think it received on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, boy.
Now, I made this last week, so I don't even remember what the scores are. And so I'm not even cheating. And the way I have the spreadsheet set up, I actually have the scores blacked out, so I can't even see them. And so I'll copy and paste them over into a new field, and then we can see how we did. So what I'll do is we'll review the movie, talk about the movie real quick, and then we'll give our scores. We'll rotate. It's listed as Patrick, Miranda, Greg, but we'll take turns. So it doesn't matter who wins. It's not a game. We're just having some fun.
No, I'm just trying to think of any positively reviewed Rock movies.
So there are some. It doesn't mean I picked them, because I only picked 10. I only picked 10, and I spread them out over his movie career. So
there you go.
So it's not all of them, obviously. It's not his whole catalog, but they are 10 movies that we're going to look at, and we're going to determine what score the critics gave it. It's the critics, not the people. The critics on Rotten Tomatoes. So we'll start. I'll give the description first, and then we will we'll give the movie. And if you think you know what the movie is, obviously you can shout it out as well. But we'll just kind of take it by ear and see how it goes. So first up, movie, and I'm going to open up the IMDb page for each one as I read it, just in case anybody has any questions. So, a desert warrior rises up against the evil army that is destroying his homeland. He captures the enemy's key sorcerer, takes her deep into the desert, and prepares for a final showdown. In 2002, Dwayne Johnson played Matthias, in The Scorpion King. How did it do on Rotten Tomatoes? Patrick O'Dowd, you're first up.
I would say 28% rotten.
28% rotten for Patrick O'Dowd. Okay. Miranda.
Oh man. Yeah. The first, I'm going to have to go higher. I'm going to say
43% rotten. Okay. The Scorpion King. I mean, the franchise, The Mummy wasn't the greatest thing ever. I'm going to go a little lower. I'll say 31, 32%. 32% rotten. So I do think it's rotten. So The Scorpion King was, hang on, I got to paste it over. 40% rotten on Rotten Tomatoes.
Miranda.
So Miranda very close with three. So what I'm doing is I'm going to track how close we are. And at the
end, I was
going to
say, is this Price is Right rules where we can't go over?
You can go
over.
Or
just whoever's the closest.
Excel has an absolute
formula. Wait, what happened to this? This isn't a competition. Suddenly Miranda's like, so what happens when you're closest? What does this mean?
I just didn't know.
No, it's a good question, and I have your answer. Space Marines are sent to investigate strange events at a research facility on Mars, but find themselves at the mercy of genetically enhanced killing machines. In 2005, Dwayne Johnson played Sarge in Doom. Miranda, you get to go first this time.
Oh, man. Man, I'm trying to think if Doom had a better rating than the Scorpion King. Gosh. I'm going to go lower. I'm going to say 28%.
Right, let me update. I'm trying to find a quote that The Rock said. 28%. Same exact score Patrick gave the Scorpion King. I am, dude. So when The Rock did the Hall of Fame induction for his grandfather and his dad, he made fun of John Cena and John Cena's movies. And then The Rock immediately responded with, I made Doom. I made Doom was one of my favorite Hall of Fame moments ever because I never really watched the Hall of Fame. I think Doom probably did terrible. I'm going to say Doom was like 20% rotten.
Patrick. Yeah, I think you're making a very reasonable guess. I'll split the difference between the two of you and go 24% rotten. It was a bad movie. Yeah. It was a very bad movie.
So yeah, it was. I saw it in the theaters too, I'm not going to lie. So Doom was 19%. 19% rotten. So we're all really close, actually, honestly. Like, that put us all pretty, pretty close. So we're going to jump ahead 5 years as two mismatched New York City detectives seize an opportunity to step up like the city's top cops, whom they idolize, only things don't go quite as planned. In 2010, The Rock played Detective Christopher Danson in The Other Guys. Oh, I got to go first this time. So
that was with Wahlberg and Will Ferrell, right?
I'll open it up.
He was just in the movie for a little bit, but that's all you needed.
Yeah, The Rock was in it. The movie was more based around Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell.
He was partnered with Samuel L. Jackson.
They
were the good cops. I liked The Other Guys. I thought it was an entertaining movie, but it's not the kind of movie that I think critics are going to love. I hate critics, so I'm probably doing that. So I'm going to say, what is it to be certified fresh? Is it like 60%? Like, what is it?
Yeah.
What's the cutoff? I'm going to go right at the cutoff and say it was 60% fresh. Patrick, you be next.
I never saw this movie. It was not something that interested me on any level. And I'm not a big Will Ferrell fan too, just to be clear about it. It's less about The Rock and more about, I don't get Will Ferrell, but, it's the type of movie that does well for a comedy, the box office. Critics are going to be kind of meandering. So I'll go lower than what you did, Greg. I'm going to go around. I'm going to go back to 48%. I think it got less than 50%.
Okay. Miranda.
I think Patrick mentioned that note that he's never seen it because the face that I made once he admitted that, I was in shock. This is one of my favorite movies. I've watched all the time. I'm a peacock. You gotta let me fly. And all the other random quotes in this is one of the better Will Ferrell movies, I have to admit. And his chemistry with Mark Wahlberg, I think that's also why they ended up making up some other movies after that as well. So I'm going to show my bias in this just because I'm a big fan of this movie, and I'm going to say 73%. I'll put it high just because I love dumb stuff, and don't at me. That's just the way I live my life.
So the result was, you're going to be surprised, The Other Guys was certified fresh at 78%.
Wow.
Yeah. So big one for Miranda.
There. Told you. It's a work of art. Yup. Just damn good. Watch it, Patrick.
Pretty
just
damn
watch
good.
It. I will go on to Bandwagon Nerds and we will have a whole watch along. I promise you. It's not. It's
But I have zero interest in seeing the movie. Like it's okay that you like it. Like I didn't run it down. Like I
no,
just
you
didn't.
But
it.
I'm just shocked.
I wasn't like this is a trash movie. Like I get it.
It will enrich your life.
It might. It probably will. Won't, but it might.
It will. I promise you.
Okay.
Speaking of enriching your
MK.
Life.
Can you just play the MK for me?
No, I'm not going to. You know why? Because Dominic Toretto and his crew of street racers plan a massive heist to buy their freedom while in the sights of a powerful Brazilian drug lord and a dangerous federal agent. Dwayne Johnson made his Fast and Furious franchise debut in 2011 as Hobbs in Fast Five. So God. I think we're back around to Patrick going first.
I'm gonna probably overshoot this. First of all, speaking of movies that change your life, none of these movies will change your life. But they are damn fun to watch cars do ridiculous things. So that's okay. I'm going to go 63%.
Okay, 63%. Miranda?
I'm going to go higher. I haven't seen a Fast and the Furious movie since like Tokyo Drift or something like that. Like I just stopped watching.
Early.
Yeah, I just
They got better.
It did? Okay. Well, maybe I'll do a little marathon one of these days. Who knows? I'm going to aim a little higher. I'm going to say maybe it's a lot more, but 80%.
Woo.
Oh, Greg is saying words.
I'm sorry. Muted.
Sorry about that.
There you go.
I do. Yeah, it seems high, 80%, but it's these movies are you know, well received. I mean, the franchise is huge.
They're
on
to number 9, so I mean, it must be working.
With John Cena on to number 9. So I can't go 80%, but I'm going to go 74. 74% is what I'm going to go with. I think that's high, though. Let's see. That one is. Fast Five was way higher than I thought. Certified Fresh at 77%. That's surprising. I guess it's not surprising to Miranda, who picked 80%.
Clearly, Miranda knows her rock movies and how they were viewed by critics. Like,
here comes where Patrick's claiming shenanigans. This is what he's
No,
using.
I'm not even calling
just shenanigans.
The table
for
I'm it. Just saying, clearly, Miranda is more in touch with the pulse of Rotten Tomatoes and rock movies.
Like, maybe.
I just love mindless movies that don't require me to think. So I'm definitely more into the
into
action.
The other guy.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Point proven.
Well, speaking of in touch, The Rock did get in touch with his Greek side. Having endured his legendary 12 labors, Hercules, the Greek demigod, has his life as a sword has a life as a sword for hire, tested when the king of Thrace and his daughter seek his aid in defeating a tyrannical warlord. In 2014, The Rock put his acting acumen to work as Hercules in the starring role of Hercules. So this would be Miranda goes first.
Ooh, I did not see this movie, nor do I care to. I'm going to say it's low, like 12%.
Patrick? No, wait, it's my turn. I didn't see Hercules either. I didn't even, like, when I was putting this together, I was like, Hercules? He was in Hercules?
totally forgot.
Me too. And so I 12 is, like, usually reserved some pretty bad stuff. So I'm going to go a little higher. I'm going to say 35. Still rotten.
Yeah. If you go that low, you're looking at like those all time low score bads. Like, I don't think it fell that far. I do think it barely, I'm gonna go with 20% because I don't know that it got too far over 20. If it did, I saw it. It's bad.
So you said 20? Did you say 20?
Yeah, 20%.
You could have spent that time watching the other guys.
I could have, but I didn't.
Could have, yeah. I mean, it is rotten, but it's 57%. I'm surprised by that.
Really?
It seems higher
Interesting.
Than it should
really?
Be. Seems higher than it should be. So,
yeah, seems like it.
2 years later, after Dwayne Johnson reconnects with an awkward pal from high school on Facebook, actually, it's not Dwayne Johnson who did this is Kevin Hart. After he reconnects with an awkward pal from high school through Facebook, a mild-mannered accountant is lured into the world of international espionage as The Rock stars as Bob Stone alongside Kevin Hart in 2016's Central Intelligence. My turn to go first. I really like this movie, actually. I think I saw it in the theater. I think my son went and saw it with me because he loves Kevin Hart. He loves him some Kevin Hart. So I don't know the history of Kevin Hart movies on Rotten Tomatoes, but this movie was just fun. I enjoyed it. I could see doing okay. I'm going to say 61%. Patrick.
I've clearly misjudged The Rock on every one of these. Clearly, I do not know what the critics like when it comes to these movies. It strikes me as the type of movie that this is another one I haven't seen. I'm gonna say critics liked it. I'm gonna side along with you, Greg. I'll go a little higher than you. I'll go 65%.
Yeah, I have not seen this movie either, but I mean, if Hercules got like 50% when whatever it was, I mean, this has to be better than that. So I'm going to go a little higher than Patrick. I'm going to say 68.
All right, there we go. Central Intelligence was certified fresh at 71%. Mm-hmm. Surprising. So Miranda was the closest. Right. We're going to stay in 2016 for this next one because in ancient Polynesia, where a terrible curse incurred by the demigod Maui reaches Moana's island, she answers the ocean call to seek out the demigod to set things right. The Rock played Maui in 2016's Moana. So this would be, who would just went first? That was, I did, right?
First last
okay,
time.
So Patrick.
Yeah. So everybody knows that, I mean, this movie went over huge with critics. It was very well done. I would say probably started out way up at like almost 100%. I'm going to say about 92%.
Okay.
Like, I'm probably underselling it, to be honest.
Miranda?
Yeah, I'm going to go probably slightly higher, 95, just, you know, more on the side of caution because, yeah, it was absolutely well received. And especially his role, I think, too. I mean, you'd seen him in other movies like The Tooth Fairy before that were, like, very kid-friendly. But I think this one, like, really, like, hit the mark of him being able to cross over into you know, family-friendly movies, too.
Yeah, I was 95 is what I was thinking, so I can't go 90. I'm not going to do the same number. So I'll go 94. Just because I can't imagine this movie was not received well. And I don't know. I hate film critics. So, of course, I play a game about film critics. But I'll go 94. It was either between that or 96. I picked the wrong one. Certified fresh at 96% was Moana.
Right.
Yep.
So, yeah, Patrick was right. Undersold it. But, hey, who knows. Now we're going to go to 2017. Where devoted lifeguard Mitch Buchanan butts heads with a brash new recruit as they uncover a criminal plot that threatens the future of the Bay. The Rock plays the lead role of Mitch Buchanan in 2017's remake of Baywatch.
Zac Efron was a treasure in that movie.
He's so good. That movie was funnier than it had any right to be.
Oh, wait, so you actually saw it. I was just making fun of Zac Efron.
What? No, it was actually pretty good. It was funny.
Well, then what do you think the critics gave it, Miranda? Because it's your turn.
Oh, gosh. The critics probably did not like it. I don't remember it being well received. Probably I'll go in the, I'm going to say 59%.
59%. Yeah, I don't remember anything about this movie. I can't imagine the critics liked it. I think 59% seems really high. I'm going to go with 27% rotten. Patrick?
I don't think it's going to be that rotten. I think that 59 is probably too high, but I'm going to go less than 59. I'm going to go back to 48. I'm going back to 48% again.
Back to 48. Just under 50. Okay. So Baywatch was certified rotten at 17%.
Wow.
Yeah, did not do well. Did not do well.
Clearly.
Even yeah. by 27%.
That was Efron's fault.
Not definitely wasn't The Rock's fault. We all know he's the most electrifying man in all of entertainment. Staying in 2017, because after he was done on the beach, he then joined up with some friends, because four teenagers are sucked into a magical video game, and the only way to escape is to work together to finish the game. In 2017, The Rock played Spencer in Jumanji. I love Jumanji. It's one of those movies that we saw as a family, have a lot of fun. My kids still quote Jumanji. My daughter loves to quote Kevin Hart, walking around talking about the top 2 feet of my body all the time. So it's a treasured movie. I don't know how it did with the critics, but I'm assuming it did all right. I'm going to say 68% fresh. Patrick?
So I'm right there with you. I love Jumanji as well. The Little O'Dowd, and I also went and saw it at the theater. He ate it up. It's a very, very fun film. And you know how it can be with like reboots, how you can always be like, this could be terrible because it's a reboot. I'm looking at you, Ghostbusters. This was really good. I think that I don't know that the critics panned it very much. I think it was pretty high. I'm going to go 78%.
All right, 78% for Patrick. Miranda, what do you think?
I mean, it was a fun movie. I think there was some trepidation when it was released as far as how different it was from the original Jumanji. But I think the cast, they were really funny. And they made a sequel. So it was good enough to make another one. This is a hard one for me. I'm going to go a little higher. I'm going to say 74%.
Okay, so higher than me, but lower than Patrick at 78. Yeah. So there we go, 74%. Let's see here. Jumanji was... Oh, you guys did good. Certified fresh at 76%. So you guys got right around it. Just two off for each of you. So,
by the way, the sequel, also pretty darn good.
I've not seen the sequel. Believe it or not, did not see the sequel. Yet.
You get to watch The Rock pretend to be Danny DeVito, and that is the funniest thing.
I did hear about that.
He's hilarious. And Kevin Hart pretending to be Danny Glover. It's good stuff.
By the way, and in the first Jumanji, we'd be remiss if we didn't put Jack Black is just fantastic in that Jumanji. Like, he so can't even is right so now. Good.
I so can't even.
Yeah, he just delivered a perfect performance in that movie. Last but most certainly not least, 2019, lawman Luke Hobbs and outcast Deckard Shaw form an unlikely alliance when a cyber-genetically enhanced villain threatens the future of all humanity. The Rock reprised his role of Hobbs in 2019's Hobbs and Shaw. So who just went first? Did I go first that last time? I did.
I think you Patrick. Went first.
Patrick O'Dowd, you go so, first.
Yeah, and you were remiss to not mention that Idris Elba is said bad guy.
I didn't mention that Jason Statham was Deckard Shaw either. So,
well, yeah, but you know who cares about Statham? Anyway,
I do.
Really, Idris Elba is a beautiful man. That's all I'm saying. Yes. Like, I mean, correct. I got lost in his
ding,
eyes.
Ding, 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 ding. Where's anyway. The little thing? Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, geez, hang on. I got to go to a different folder. Hang on. There we go. All right.
Anyway, the people who I know who saw this movie really enjoyed it, so I'm going to err on the side of critics probably were okay with this movie for what it was and gave it a 67% rating.
All right. Miranda?
It's really hard because, yeah, I heard overall good reviews from people. I don't know, though, how that translates when you get into film critics. They may be, you know, more critical because that's their job. But it's also part of a franchise. So I think that probably helps. I'm going to say 71.
Okay. So we got 671. I think those are high, but then I also have to remind myself that Fast 5 came in at 77% earlier, and that was so that kind of drives it up a little bit for me. So I figuring that I'll go a little bit lower. I'll say 60%, still fresh. So let's reveal the answer. So we have to, I mean, we said the score doesn't matter, right? Because here's the question I have. Is there any kind of bonus if somebody hits it right on the head? Because somebody
did Miranda hit it right on the head?
Because somebody hits it right on the head. So is there a bonus? Do I take away more points of the difference to make up for other times that people...
Why don't you just play the little dinging noise again or something? Like, does it really... If score doesn't matter, like, if this is whose line is it anyway?
That's true.
Where the points don't count.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you get in comic books, you get what's called a no prize. It's like, congratulations, here's your no prize.
Well, this is a podcast, not a comic book. So you get this prize, Patrick.
FABULOUS.
Because Hobbs and Shaw was certified fresh at 67%, the exact answer that Patrick O'Dowd gave.
You know what? You know what I just realized? For this particular contest, you should have played the Mr. Perfect GIF or the song for anybody who gets it right. So from here on out, if we play this game again, Mr. Perfect song.
Do I even have Mr. Perfect in this?
Did you lose it? We had it for...
We had it, but remember, we don't use Blog Talk Radio anymore. I think that's where Mr. Perfect
is. I know, because I got it for the Perfect Show. I called the Perfect Show one time. Yeah, I called the pay-per-view every single match.
I got the next best thing.
Fuck that. It's not even boom.
Speaking of boom, so because I made a spreadsheet and I love spreadsheets, I have totaled everything up. So the scores are in. So you want to go in reverse order? What do you want to do?
Well, I was in last place, I'm pretty sure, because outside of that one exactly right, like, I was way off on a lot of them.
So Miranda Morales came in at a score of 117. Her biggest difference was Hercules, where she predicted a 12, and it came in at 57. That gave her a 45. So Miranda's in at 117.
Deserves a 12. That's what's up.
Probably, honest. I don't know. I never saw it. Didn't even remember that it existed. Patrick O'Dowd did get the 0 for one that was, you know, quite big, but also didn't have one as far off as 42 like Miranda did, but did have a 30 and a 31. I had a 7, an 8, a 2, a 3, a 1. I also had an 18, a 22. So, yeah, so Miranda at 117. Patrick O'Dowd, you did come in third place at 141 points. The 0 did not help you. Even if we had like a bonus, like 10-point bonus or something, it still would have been in third place. I took the victory at 89. It was a slow and steady wins the race for me, apparently, because I had a lot
Congratulations.
Of close and close. Yeah, so we'll do this. Our average is so very interesting. The average score of these 10 films for The Rock was 59.8. So right under Certified Fresh. Patrick's average scores that he gave were 53.3. Miranda's were 60.3. And mine were 53.1. So on the averages, Miranda was way closer. But on the individual ones is where she lost. So very interesting. Pretty interesting how it all panned out there. So
that's some nerd stuff right there, sir.
Yep. You know,
how much you love your data.
It's a numbers world, and I do love me some data.
Here comes the big dog.
So what do you guys think? What do you guys think of the game?
Oh, that's a fun game.
Yes,
it's a fun game. Maybe one day we play it with John Cena, Batista. Yeah. I think it's now. I mean, The Rock really did open the doors.
I don't have to do 10.
He's working on it. I mean, this look. So the other guys only feature The Rock for like 10 minutes or less.
I didn't have to use the other guys.
He's got his Marvel work alone. He's in 5 movies.
Exactly.
The other guys came up only because of the timeline. The other guys was not one that was necessarily. It wasn't. He's done more than 10 movies. I could have picked. I had like 19 to pick from. So
I'm just saying. I gotta let you know, Greg. I was a little disappointed that you didn't pick the cinematic classic Walking Tall, that remake with him and Johnny Knoxville.
There's always a next time. There's always a next time.
That was a stinker.
It's time for another edition of Baron Corbin Sucks.
Much like Hercules, Baron Corbin sucks.
That'll do it for this week's edition of Baron Corbin Sucks.
I gotta find the soundbite. Where'd it go? Looking for the soundbite. Looking for the song I want to play. How do we lose it? Oh, there it is.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
Patrick Dowd, this weekend, Ring of Honor celebrates its 18th anniversary. And that'll be more of a topic for the Hashtag Miranda Show. However, I wanted to run down for you and for everybody listening the card that you and I went to in 2005, the fourth anniversary show for Ring of Honor held in the beautiful city of Edison, New Jersey. So
Loved that venue, by the way.
It was a great, great place for wrestling. So I'm going to run down the card real quick, and we'll see what people think. The Briscoe Brothers opened the show, making their triumphant return to Ring of Honor. They defeated two tag teams, Tony Mamaluke and Sal Renaro, and Jason Blade and Kid Mikazi in the opener. They were not scheduled for the match. They were just announced for the card. That's where they made their debut. Adam Pearce, good friend of the program, defeated Claudio Castagnoli. We all know who that is now. Jay Fury, nobody knows who that is now. And Azrael in a four-corner survival match. In the third match on the card, Patrick O'Dowd, you know Samoa Joe is his mentor. Samoa Joe defeated Jay Lethal.
Jay Lethal.
Match number four, Christopher Daniels fought our good friend BJ Whitmer to a no contest when wrestlers from CZW charged the ring and caused a big old stink. Homicide defeated Colt Cabana in a ghetto street fight. I don't know if that was the Drano incident or if the Drano incident was the final battle.
That had to be the Drano incident.
I think Drano was at final battle.
Was it?
I think Drano was final. I don't know. Who cares? Ring of Honor World Champion Bryan Danielson, of course, better known as Daniel Bryan, defeated Jimmy Rave. We got to talk about Jimmy Rave. Ricky Reyes defeated Jack Evans in a battle of the Rottweilers and Generation Next. And in the main event, the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions, Austin Aries and Roderick Strong, defeated AJ Styles and Matt Sydal. So quite the card put on 14 years ago by Ring of Honor. You know why the name Jimmy Rave rings a bell, Patrick O'Dowd? Did either of you guys, well, I don't know if you guys had a chance to listen. I co-hosted Pod is War a couple weeks ago, and Jimmy Rave came up. And in the list of potential show titles for Pod is War, one of the show titles, because we only had two topics, and we just kept going on and on from there. One of the potential show titles for Pod is War, believe it or not, was actually Fuck You, Jimmy Rave. So I'm going to explain why. I texted you guys back in November. I'd have to go back and find it. Letting you know that you had some Jimmy Rave stuff coming to you. So Jimmy Rave tore his ACL or something like that, MCL, I don't know, and was trying to raise money for surgery. And so he was selling merchandise. So me being the nice guy that I am, bought you guys some Jimmy Rave merchandise. I bought Miranda a t-shirt. I bought Patrick a t-shirt. I bought Greg a t-shirt. And then for like an extra like $10 or whatever, he threw in two DVDs, one of which you guys are each going to get. Now, Miranda Morales, are you the proud owner of a Jimmy Rave t-shirt or DVD? You can speak and say no instead of just shaking your head on a podcast.
Oh, no. I thought you were asking Patrick first, but no, I'm not. I have neither of those things.
Miranda Morales before I asked the question. So, Patrick O'Dowd, are you the proud owner of a Jimmy Rave t-shirt and DVD?
Not an exclusive Jimmy Rave DVD, but I have multiple DVDs with Jimmy Rave on them.
Yes, you do. I do not have a Jimmy Rave approved t-shirt either, and that's what I had ordered. I went back and checked my PayPal. I ordered these items on November 25th, 2019.
Oh, wow.
They have not made their way to me at all. I ordered these things so long ago, I completely forgot this ever even happened. until Jimmy Rave somehow came up during Pot is War, and Andrew had ordered a t-shirt from somewhere else that never arrived, and the topic of merchandise that didn't arrive came up, and I remembered I ordered stuff from Jimmy Rave and it never showed up. So yeah, that's where Fuck You Jimmy Rave comes from. So what was intended to be us waxing poetic about not the greatest night in the history of our sport, but close to it, Ring of Honor's fourth anniversary show, part of the Milestone series or whatever they called it back then, it became us destroying Jimmy Rave. Watch him message me in like a week being like, hey man, if something happened and you do something, I'll be like, remember last time, Jimmy Rave? Remember last time? It's a shameful thing, Lobster Head. A shameful thing indeed, Lobster Head. Maybe Jimmy Rave is now Lobster Head from now on.
No more shrimp cocktail.
No more. What do you know about shrimp cocktail anyway, huh?
Yeah. Shameful thing, Lobster Head.
Patrick O'Dowd at Wrestling Realist on the Twitter. That's WrestlingRealist. The Patrick 500 is still a thing, but if you are out there, let's get Patrick to 460. It only takes one of you. If one of you, you know how like stupid, you know, mega church pastors will be like, if everybody gave a dollar, we could save, you know, 40 million people somewhere, and then they just pocket the money anyway. If just one of you follows Patrick O'Dowd, he will be at 460 followers, and we'll be well on our way to the Patrick 500. What's more likely to happen this week? More of you will follow Miranda Morales on Instagram at the hashtag Miranda, which you can do. But go out and follow them both. You can follow me at ChairShotGreg, but look, if you decided you were only going to follow two of the three of us, go follow those two, because they're more likely to post something than I am. I posted something today from the weekend, but however, that might be the last thing I post for a while. Who knows? You just never know with social media. Head on over to thechairshot.com. Make sure you absorb all the content there. Also at ewrestlingnews.com, like Miranda told you earlier, go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your very own Chair Shot t-shirt. And when you do so in the style of soft. Then sit down and watch some wrestling for a full free month at powerslam.tv when you use the promo code ChairShot. Patrick, Miranda, anything for the good people before we depart?
Also, be sure to follow Bandwagon Nerds on Twitter and give us a listen on Tuesdays.
That's right. Show came out on time this week. This week, I had to bug Patrick for the show description, not Dave for
you
the
did.
File. But everything went off without a hitch, and your show went up no problem. Miranda, what can people expect on your show? The hashtag Miranda.
Yeah, so on this week's edition of the hashtag Miranda show, we're going to be talking more in depth about ROH, specifically their past versus present show and their 18th anniversary show.
There you go. Check that out. Wednesday at thechairshot.com. Thursday over at ewrestlingnews.com. Remember, all of the ChairShot Radio Network shows typically show up at 6 a.m. the following morning over at ewrestlingnews.com. You can also get them on any of your podcast providers, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, wherever you listen to your podcasts, and of course over at thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Everybody's got a price. Everybody's gonna pay. Cause the Million Dollar Man always gets his way.
Tell me how my ass tastes.